Hey, welcome to another episode of the Paseo Pathway Podcast. I'm your host today, Carla Rusilatar. I'm the Student Ministry Director, joined by...
I'm Ashley, and I'm your Kidsmin Director.
Yeah, and so Shelton and Andrew are not here today, so we've had the opportunity to sit and fill in. Thankful for the opportunity to do so. But Ash, what did Andrew and Shelton leave for us to cover today?
Speaking in tongues, prophecy, and women speaking in the church.
All right. We were joking offline that we should just probably just do this whole thing in tongues and then let Andrew and Shelton interpret it later. But we're not going to do that. We want to be helpful. God has given us the opportunity to sit and help shepherd our flock. And so before we get into our passage, though, what are some tips that are helpful for our readers as they continue on their journey of reading through the scriptures this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So Andrew brought up this thing called mirror reading, and it's using what the author says to infer what the original audience was doing or struggling with. It's similar to hearing one side of a phone conversation and then piecing together what's happening on the other side.
Yeah, so for us in chapter 14, all right, we don't know entirely what's going on in the Corinthian church, but we can infer, right, from maybe the questions that Paul is asking them, from the things that Paul is bringing up, right? We can kind of go, oh, this is one of the things that they're struggling with. And so, for instance, we'll see something along the lines of him talking about, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You'll just be speaking into the air, verse 9, right? So we can infer that, hey, that there's something going on. They're speaking in a way that people aren't understanding, right? Or maybe in verse 27, hey, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or most three should speak one at a time and someone must interpret. Verse 27, what would you say he's trying to get at there?
Well, he's calling them to order. Yeah. He's calling them to the order of the church gathering and... not having more than one person speak at one time.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what that mirror reading is. So even though we don't have the full conversation back and forth, we can see from what Paul is saying, right? The things that maybe he is addressing or the issues that they're going through in the Corinthian church. So, hey, we're gonna jump into 1 Corinthians 14. Chapter 14 really kind of encompasses that. It's not about the spiritual activity, right? Just the speaking tongues, right? Having these, you know, spiritual moments, these spiritual highs, but that ultimately spiritual edification is, like we'll see, the building up of the church. And so, Ash, would you read 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 9?
Absolutely.
As well as 23 through 26.
Yes. So, verse 1, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you, unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air.
And then verses 23 through 26.
If therefore the whole church should assemble together and all speak in tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification.
Yeah. And so when we kind of look at the context of what's going on here, right, we can kind of get caught up in kind of the spirit, you know, the tongues, the spiritual gifting.
Yeah.
But really what he's talking about, right, when we look at the context of what you just read is that, hey, when they come together, when the church gathers, when believers get together, right, that ultimately, hey, we want there to be, we want there to actually be teaching. Now, he's not saying, right, that there's the gift of the spirits, or the gift of the spirit is not there. Actually, he says all the more prophecy, right, over tongues.
Yeah.
Because he wants people to walk away, right? You mentioned as you were reading there, kind of what happens to the unbeliever, right? And so what would you say, like, why do we gather? Why the expression of these spiritual gifts for the unbeliever?
Yeah. Well, I absolutely love that it says to use prophecy. It's a sign for those who believe. But I love also how later on it says, but if all prophecy if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. But if it's just speaking in tongues, they're going to call them mad. And that's kind of wild to think about. And I love how in this specific portion, it reminds me of Jonah. Mm-hmm. When Jonah is in the ship with these unbelievers and it's rocking back and forth. And then he says, just throw me overboard. And as soon as they throw him overboard, the sea's calm. And so immediately these sailors decide that they're like, wow, we want to worship Jonah's God. And that's incredible. It's just like what he's talking about in here in that order that you see. But the prophecy has a huge piece there for that unbeliever as well.
Yeah, so for Jonah, right, in that moment, those actions brought clarity, right, to that, in that God is, right, the God of the heavens and the earth, right? Likewise, when an unbeliever walks in and they're hearing kind of the babbling that's going on, the talking that's going on, even if it's a manifestation of the spirit, right, and they don't understand, what good does it benefit them, right? Ultimately, right, Paul will say at the beginning of chapter 14, pursue love, right? Mm-hmm. That we want people to come to know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Ash. Paul isn't saying, hey, get rid of it. Actually, he says, like, seek this earnestly, right?
Yeah.
And all the more prophecy. So how do we exercise the Spirit's gift in a fruitful way?
By following the Lord's direction on it, by having order and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in a way that is going to cause that peace and that order and that edification of the church, encouraging up, building up the church.
Yeah. Paul says here, how will anyone know what's said? For you will be speaking into the air. It kind of reminds me of when he says, hey, if I speak in tongues of men and, you know, and I have not love, I'm a noisy gong.
Yeah.
Right. And so Paul's doubling down on this. Hey, we want people to know what's going on. We want to help people to be built up. Right. And that's what we see over and over again. The building up of the church, the upbuilding and the encouragement and consolation, so that the church may be built up. He'll say, how will I benefit you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge, prophecy, or teaching? And then in verse 12, he'll say, strive to excel in building up the church. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's not just about spiritual things happening or the spirit manifesting, but that the church is built up because of it, right? But you did bring up order, right? And that's this next part that we're looking at. So I'm going to read for us 1 Corinthians 14, 31 through 40. And then we'll talk about that. So For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirit of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says, if there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. So first, the first section that we looked at that you read, right, talked about edification is more important than just the expression, right? That people would be built up, that people walk away more attuned with the Lord and what he's doing. Yeah. And then this section two talks about order, right? Versus the chaos maybe that they were experiencing in the Corinthian church. So what from the passage there talks to that order?
Well, I mean, definitely that it talks about for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. The part where it talks about let women keep silent in churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but let them be subjecting themselves, just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, that they need to ask their husbands at home. And then... yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things in here, like follow the Lord's commands, mm-hmm. or commandment. There's a lot of things.
Yeah, I think one of the things that stands out to me as we started that, right, that let two or three prophets speak, right? Meaning that not everybody is just going off. Not everybody is just starting to prophesy. And he says, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may be learn and be encouraged, right? So yeah. You can just imagine kind of the chaos, right? If everyone is just starting to prophesy or speaking in tongues, right? What does that look like for us on a, you know, what would that look like for the gathering of the church if that's what that looked like?
Well, that would be absolute insanity. Uh-huh. You know, I think there's definitely an order to the way that God has called us to operate the church, especially with the leaders being like the pastor, and you have the deacons, and you have the elders, and if all of those things aren't aligned in unity and walking out the same thing, then mm-hmm. it can be absolute chaos.
For sure. I like to use the example, and we talked a little bit about this. Will was preaching last week, and you know, students would sit and would start raising their hands, and hey, Will's in the middle of kind of teaching through, helping yeah. you to understand the passage, and then people are interjecting or starting to talk or raising their hands. And so what happens is there just kind of becomes this chaos. And hey, we want people to learn and we want people to be able to ask those questions, but maybe this is not the right time, right? Right. So if you can imagine like on Sunday morning getting together and all of a sudden Shelton's teaching and then somebody else is like, I got something I want to teach too. And somebody else, is like, I got something else I want to teach too. And they all start teaching. That would be pretty chaotic.
It'd be confusing.
It'd be super confusing as well, yeah. for sure. And so I think as we read through this, I'm sure that there are plenty of questions that come up, right? Particularly on the speaking of tongues, but maybe even more so here at the end as it talks about women. And so we've got a listener question that came in. It says, why does Paul say women should remain silent in the churches and that it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church? What would you say, Ash, is the problem that Paul's addressing here? Like, what's going on here? Help us to understand that a little bit.
Well, I think that the problem that they're finding is that there was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of disruption. Just like you're talking about how youth would raise their hands and then ask a question, it disrupts the flow of the church and that message. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I'm like on a track with something and I'm speaking and then I get interrupted, I kind of forget what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I'll move on to something different because of that interjection, mm-hmm. you know, changing just the trajectory of the conversation even. But I think what's happening here is that there's a lot of people, and not just specifically women, but men too, who God's calling them to each in turn have this order. Mm-hmm. And then if there is no interpreter, to be silent. But with the women specifically, like, they were asking a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of the time they actually couldn't read. And so they probably had even more questions, mm-hmm. of just like, whoa, what does this mean? What does this mean? But also, if they are speaking in tongues, like, it's kind of crazy because their culture also has this place across the bay in Delphi where there was priestesses who would speak up, and then they would interpret for Apollos, the god over there. And so I bet you there's a lot of confusion that's sparking up because of not just what's happening in the church, but also the cultural things that are happening around them as well.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, and we know, right, like outside of this passage, that this isn't just a blanket statement for women don't talk in church.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Chapter 11 talks about wives who pray and prophesy, but wearing proper head covering, right? And then Acts 2 and 21 talk about daughters who will prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord, right, will pour out on your daughters, and they will prophesy. And so we know it's not just a blanket statement of hey, just be quiet.
Right. It's not an absolute. Mm-hmm. It is definitely something that he's specifically addressing about order here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's something that's helpful to our readers, because sometimes something will come up that feels very jarring.
Yeah.
And to sit and talk, use that mirror, right? That mirror reading that we were looking at. Hey, what is he addressing? What are the questions he's asking? And ultimately, it has to do with order, right? And so, yeah. Hey, if you've got a question, Let's have those conversations at home, or you know, or afterwards, right? Not in the middle of the corporate gathering.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I know. Even like as I'm sitting in service, every single week I'll be sitting there with my son, and he'll ask me a question, and then I'll be like, and then I can't remember, and then I'm like, oh no, and then I'll answer the question, and then I'll be like, oh no, what did he just talk about? And I completely missed everything. So I think, mm-hmm. there's a bit of that probably in there too, just wanting to be able to be attentive and listen to what is being spoken as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's our desire, right, on our Sunday morning gatherings when we're all together, right, for the teaching of the Word of God to be clear, right, that people would walk away edified, that they would be built up, that they would be in a space that's not chaotic and disorderly, but in a place where they're sitting and able to learn and understand and hear the Word of God, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hey, this has been a great time sitting with you and getting to discuss what it is that chapter 14 talks through. Ash, do you have any last words for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think specifically for me, this is a really, really big thing that I've had to struggle with as a believer and as a woman. And there's so much this deep within this text. And I want to encourage you that if you are struggling with this, if you are a woman, even if you're not a woman, if you are really struggling with this, dive into the scripture. Mm-hmm. Continue to allow the Lord to minister to your heart. Continue to dive into just the Greek words of things if you have the ability to do so, and allow the Lord to speak to you. Because as I've grown throughout my years of being a Christian and a leader in ministry, it's been a lot to really take in. And it's a kind of an emotional thing for a woman, for sure. And so, don't give up. Keep digging in. Keep diving in. See what the Lord is teaching you through it.
Yeah. Well, Paseo, we hope that this has been helpful to you, and we'll see you on the next one.